having hope in a shaking world. Now, I've been saying for a long time that things are shaking and will continue to shake. They will continue to shake with increased frequency and with more intensity. And so I don't want to rehash that today. I've said it over and over. But what I do want to talk about it today is having hope in a shaking world. God doesn't want us to live in a state of panic. Okay, he's not trying to jerk our chain so we go jump off a cliff. If people cannot bring their thoughts into captivity, they're not going to be able to find hope. Because if, you know, they're just going to wait for things in the world to settle down and be like they want, if that's where their hope is, they're not going to find it. And we must, as Christians, be able to bring our thoughts into captivity. And that's why this year is dedicated to you. You.
You!
See how that works?
Yeah.
You just speak it forth. Anyway, you, that's year of understanding. You know, and here's what I want us to, I just want to drive this point home. We must detach our natural hope from the things that we think provide security and from the things that we think we need. And we need to attach supernatural hope to true things, to things that are real, real things that provide real security, and not the things that are shaking. And so if you think you have to have something that's shaking and you hold on to it, then you're probably going to shake. Natural hope is placed in the resources of the earth. No one teaches us that. We learn that from a very tiny, very young age. We find things in the earth, and we think, oh, I need that. We learn how to take things in the earth and create other things, and we make chairs and microphones, and man, we're very good at making stuff, and we look at the things we make, and we think, I need that. And when you place hope in something from the earth, I'm just telling you, that's a false hope. True hope belongs to God alone. And, if you're looking for security, if you're looking for peace, you ought to be looking to the Word of God. You ought to be looking to Jesus Christ, not to a chair or a microphone or whatever it is you think you have to have. That hope belongs to God alone. And now that doesn't mean that you cannot enjoy the things of the earth. The things of the world are gifts from God for us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the world, and the beauty of the world, and all of those kinds of things. But when people put hope in things that their hands have made, when I go out and I scratch up from the dust ore and make metal chair legs, and I go out and I get cotton or fibers, and I make chair fabric, and I put it all together and make a chair, and I put my hope in the things that my hands have made, or the things that my hands have gathered, that is what makes something an idol. And so, today, we make toilet paper an idol. We think, you know, I need that. I'm not denying it. But unknowingly, we make it into an idol. And so we have reached a place in history where we now turn toilet paper into idols. And then we wonder why we cannot think straight. And you know what's funny is we're all laughing about the toilet paper craze that's going on. We're all making jokes. We're all talking about it. But I'm not going to ask anybody to admit it, but I wonder how many people actually went out and bought extra toilet paper. Most people are looking for a headline that says, are you, or you're safe. Guess what? Overnight, the coronavirus, or whatever it is, how you pronounce it, it just disappeared. Crisis averted. You know, I'm not going to lose my job. I'm going to be able to pay my bills. My spouse is not going to leave me. My heart's okay. I don't have cancer after all. I'm not going to die. And those are the kinds of things that we look for every day to try to weigh whether or not we should be excited or whether we should be frightened. And that's not the headline you need. Because you already have good news that surpasses all of those headlines. You don't need a headline that tells you that you're going to be able to fill your pantry with your favorite idols. That may be what you think you need, but that's not what you need. You don't need to worry when the headlines say the opposite, that you're not going to be able to, that there's a crisis. Headlines will not give you hope in a shaking world. They will make you a victim. And so don't coddle your fears. I'm not saying that there's not an enemy out there. I'm not denying that there's an enemy that's attacking us. I'm just saying we don't give place to that. Amen. I'm not going to tell you that your pantries are going to be full. Because I don't know that. And it doesn't matter. What I can tell you is that Jesus is all the security that you need. And we just have to become convinced of that. But so often we think it's our gathering and our making and our doing, and we think that is what is providing us security, and that's a mirage. It's a lie. God is not punishing us. He's not punishing the world. This is not the day of judgment. We humans have opened the door to all this fear. We did this. God didn't do this. And I just want to tell you, you're not alone in your trials. Much of the Bible was written under the circumstances of duress. When the Bible was written, when those people were writing all those things, they were not just, they weren't riding a big wave. It wasn't just all cherry picking for them. It wasn't just all wonderful days and it's just glory to glory. It was not like that for them. We know that in the last days, spiritual warfare will be intense. And so, as a Christian, you must hold on and persevere. And the only way you can hold on and persevere is you have to be a trust that God can take care of you. That He and He alone is your source of security. That He is the one that's going to make sure everything is all right. Judgment will come on the world. But for us, this is only an exercise that shows us whether we are true or false. This is just our chance, to get things kind of straightened out. See, the truth might be you don't really want Jesus all that much. You might be going to church, you might be doing all the things, you might be saying all the stuff, you might go on, whatever. You might even, everybody might think you're a super Christian, but I don't know what your heart is, and chances are you may not even know what your heart is. You may not really love Jesus all that much. The truth might be, you really want toilet paper. You really want the security that can come from the world. You want something else. And so when things like this happen, this is when you find out. You will discover that you are a true believer, and your confidence will grow. I woke up this morning and there was a crisis. Everything was going to fall in. And you know what I discovered? I discovered I really do trust Jesus. Amen. I wondered, if I might cave if things got tough. But man, things couldn't get any tougher. And I love Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. And you might discover that. And your confidence will grow. Or you might find out that you need to repent and change course a little bit. You don't need to explain to me how legitimate your desire is or your need or those kinds of things. And, you know, people do that a lot. You know, I'm not asking for to win the lottery. I'm not asking for, you know, any special luxury. I just want, you know, and it's so legitimate. So you don't need to explain that to me. But here's the deal. You're not even to desire your own life over your love for Christ. There is nothing. I don't care how legitimate you think it might be. There is nothing that should be in front of your love for Jesus Christ. There's people who get mad at God today and shake their fists at Him because they can't find toilet paper. It used to be things a lot rougher than that, but it doesn't make any difference whether it's legit, not legit. You know, we're not to desire anything above our love for Christ. Are you afraid? Prove yourself true to Christ. Let go of all your needs and desires and all these things that you're worried about. Let go of your issues, your frustrations, the fact that you were treated unfairly. I don't know what it is. Just let go of all of that. And put your trust in Him. And prove yourself true. Because as Christians, that's what we're called to. Your future has already been decided. If you have chosen to throw your lot in with Jesus, your future is victory. You don't need good news from the world to tell you that you're okay or that you should be excited today. You are the good news. You know, if you want to enjoy the security that comes from good news, you need to put your trust in Jesus. Because if your trust is in Jesus, I'm going to tell you something, He is not shaking. He never changes. His love never goes up or down. He's not about ready to cast you off or embrace you in. He's always the same. You need to put your trust in Jesus. And if you do that, then you'll see that that's truly where all your security comes from. But a lot of people have never tried it, so they don't know. They just keep trusting the Walmart shelves. And, you know, hey, if Walmart's stocked up from now on, we'll beat you running there every day. See, it was good news today. Yep, Torger, you got toilet paper on the shelves, folks. Woo, let's have a party. You know, they're going to be running there every day and checking the stock to see whether they should be happy or not. That's messed up. The signs that you see in the world will be terrifying. And they're going to come faster with more intensity. But that doesn't mean you should forsake your confidence. The sun's still coming up every day like it always has. It's going down every day like it always has. It doesn't know that things are messed up. Nothing requires you to participate in the panic fest. There's no rule that says you have to do that. And there are people who are going to be mad at you if you don't. And they're going to call you irresponsible. And they're going to want to make you to be the problem. And, you know, and if it wasn't for you, the world would be a safe place. And they're going to, all that stuff's going to be part of it. But you do not have to participate in that. I don't receive any comfort from knowing that people are being tormented. I don't personally, I hope you don't. But I receive comfort knowing that Jesus is coming soon. I receive comfort knowing that many will turn away from lies and the father of lies and turn to the truth. That gives me comfort. I receive comfort knowing that many Christians will draw close in love and unity. Not all, but a lot of them will. And a lot of them out there in the sticks are going to change course. And so for that I rejoice. That excites me. when Christians finally start letting go of all the toilet paper in their life and start taking hold of each other, embracing each other, loving each other, that's a wonderful day. That's good news. And that makes me happy thinking about that. If you need to endure discomfort for an hour while the full number of children are gathered to God, is that injustice? Is God asking you to do too much? To have to live at a time when there's not toilet paper on the shelves in order that someone else might be brought home to Christ? No, that's a privilege that we have. We're honored to be able to live in this time, in this hour, to show people how it is to live fearlessly in an hour like this. What a great privilege we have. Total and complete victory is coming, but it isn't the victory the world is looking for. It's not the kind of victory that fills your pantries with idols, but it's the kind that you should be looking for. Victory is when everything that sets itself up against the truth of Christ is destroyed. When every thought, when every lie, when it's finally destroyed. And the only thing left that's standing left is Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. That's victory. And that's what's going to happen. His Word is going to stand and everything else is going to lose. And so our security, our hope, comes from the Word, not from the things that are being destroyed. Don't be found to be a false disciple. This is not a time to fall apart. That's not what God's calling us to. You know, we preached faith all these years, but now it's time to run for the hills. Now it's time to panic. Yep, you knew it was going to happen, didn't you? So here it is. It finally showed up at your doorpost. This is not the time to give up for us. This is a trumpet blast calling us to take our place. Stand up. Stand up. Get on your feet. We must be ready to trust Jesus in the face of overwhelming lies. When it's impossible, that's the place God's calling us to. That's where we find our hope. I mean, just be able to trust Him regardless of what you see or what you experience or all of those things. Enjoy every good thing that in the world that Jesus brings your way, but fasten your heart to none of them, or you too will be shaken until you're convinced not to do that. Go with me to Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he traveled with Abraham to the land of Canaan, and God prospered them both so much that they couldn't stay in the same place. And so Lot chose to go down to the plain and settle there near Sodom, while Abraham, he stayed out in the hills. Now, Lot was going to that city. Him going to that city is like us attaching our umbilical cord to the world. See, he went there because he thought that was the safest place to be. That would be the best place. That's where the greatest odds for all those things he wanted. And Sodom was Lot's security blanket. God wasn't mad at Lot. Lot was a righteous man. But that city was corrupt, as the world that we live in is corrupt today. We're just like Lot. If you're Christian, you're like Lot living near Sodom. And the only answer available to God was to destroy Sodom. If there had been even one other righteous man there in Sodom besides Lot, God would have spared the city for their sake. But Sodom went past the point of no return. So God was going to destroy it. And Lot was there because he was drawn to the security that was there. But it was a false security. And now he was going to lose everything he had. But God was going to spare him. Because Lot perceived Sodom as necessary, he put his roots down there. It wasn't God's fault. That was his misunderstanding. Everything he had except what he could carry was going to be destroyed, but not Lot. His family. He was going to be saved. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be saved. We're going to be okay. But it's not God's fault that we have attached ourselves to Sodom and found our security in the Walmarts at Sodom. And all the things that Sodom offers. You know, and the fancy clothes and the purple threads. And I mean, you know, Sodom's got that's good stuff to be like Sodom. And who wants to leave there? Well, you should have never fell in love with Sodom. The world is not our security either, but many Christians perceive it so. And that's why when things go bad in the world, they're so shook up. It's about to pass the point of no return, and like Sodom, it will be destroyed. But judgment is not here. But it is coming. God's not mad at you. He's made you righteous, His righteousness. But there is no salvation in the world. And we need to become convinced of that and understand that. And the sooner you let go and leave the world behind, I'm talking about in your heart, the sooner your hope in God will flourish. Did you ever have something when you were little that was really important to you that you lost or was taken away? And probably upset you for a little bit, but you survived. Maybe you can't even remember what it was now. Maybe you laugh about it when you think about it. And so, yeah, we're going to be upset a little bit, distressed when our security blanket's being pulled out from underneath of us. But we shouldn't have been so dependent upon it in the first place. We should have been trusting God. And so now we have an opportunity to practice trusting God. Isn't that wonderful? God would not destroy Sodom until Lot and his family were safely escorted out. And you likewise will be kept safe. No matter how big the panic is you go through. They were told to flee and to not look back. And that's what I'm telling you. Forget Sodom. Forget the world. Look for your future with Christ. Don't look back like you have suffered some sort of great loss. You have not. You've gained everything. And you're just now getting ready to get on with the best part of your life. Lot's wife, though, she could not let go. Sodom was her life. All her hope was back in that city. Her kitchen and her utensils. And Sodom was where she desired to be. She wasn't looking ahead in obedience. She couldn't help but look back in disobedience. And so she became a pillar of salt. Because she was told not to look back. Not only should we let go of all these fears and all these things, but at some point in our life we should stop looking back. She became a monument of what not to do. You are the salt of the world. But if you look back, if your hope is in the things of the world, you're just a pillar. You're an example of what not to do as a Christian. You'll still be salt, but not the kind you want to be. Not the kind that's useful, except in the negative side of the message. I'd rather be blessing. I'd rather be salt to the world than to be a pillar of salt that people look at. I guess they learn either way, but you don't want to be a pillar of salt. I cannot help you find hope if you love the world. No one can do that. Even if I were an angel from heaven, I can't help you if you insist on looking back. Stop mourning where you've been. And start rejoicing where you're going. And in that there's great hope and great joy. Once we get over the initial trauma of our toys being under threat. And you will get through it. People are consumed by their rags. They wash their rags. They bleach their rags. They starch their rags. They color their rags. They mend their rags. They mourn over their rags when they can no longer stitch them together. They're consumed by their rags. And they cannot be see the blessing of Christ that He's prepared for them. Because they're too busy just looking at all their rags. When their rags are lit on fire, they don't realize that they're being saved. They don't realize that while judgment might be coming on the world, that God is being merciful to them. I've been saying for a long time that things are shaking and will continue to shake, and they'll shake more often with greater intensity. And again, I don't want to rehash that. What I want to talk about is how to have hope in a shaking world. We must detach from the things that we think provide us security, from the things that we think we must have. And we must trust Jesus to take care of us and provide all the things that we really need. And I know that people can survive on dirt floors. You know, our ancestors came here in covered wagons and lived for months in a wagon that had a canopy over the top, and they built grass houses or wood houses and with wood floors, and they did just fine. There was no Walmart. They never had to show up at the store and see empty shelves to get depressed. I'm sure they had other things, though. We must detach from the things that we think provide security and attach our hope to true things, not the things that are disappearing. You can't hold on to things that are being destroyed and expect to have things go well for you. I don't know if most Christians entertain the idea of Jesus coming back in their lifetime. I know we discuss it all the time. I think most of us probably think about the possibility. But I don't think most Christians seriously consider that Jesus could come back in our time. Because if they did, I think if they believed that Christ was coming back that soon, they wouldn't put so much emphasis on their current situations. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, he says, "He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws." Now there is there's a spirit of motivated to change the set times. He also wants to change good into evil and evil into good. And so we call that the spirit of the Antichrist. And Satan knows that this is the last hour. But he desperately wants to change that. And so he works through people. There are people who think that they can deny away the existence of God. They think that they can ignore away the coming judgment on Gomorrah. And so they're battling to overcome God so that they can build their reprobate city in their own image, the way that they want it to be. You don't need to hang around with that group. Go witness to them. Be kind to them. Pray for them. But you don't need to be a part of that. You can make Jesus your Lord. You can put your trust in Him. You can look for the city that He's prepared, instead of the one that world wants to build here on earth. They're not going to get there, Sodom and Gomorrah. They can define right and wrong any way they want to. They're not going to get it. They might think they're getting it. It might look that way for a while, but it's going to be burnt. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. If He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. And I think that probably defines a lot of us. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. You should find hope in that. He knows how to keep you while doing all this stuff that's driving everybody else nuts. You need to put your faith in the fact that He knows how to keep you rather than the other part of that. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true for those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. And so there's a problem there. Desires of the flesh, corrupt desires of the flesh, and despising authorities. I know that you're under trial. But that's not a big deal. God knows how to rescue you from trials. You don't need to know how He's going to do it or how it's going to play out. He doesn't need to come down and justify Himself to you. You just need to trust Him, what His Word says. You need to know how, you don't need to know how to play out. You need to trust Christ Jesus. All right, so we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Until He does, I just want to pass on, I'd like to be able to provide all of us comfort. This year is all about you. Year of understanding. If I can help you understand, if I can understand better myself, then we can all be comforted. I don't want you to place all your dreams in Sodom, a doomed city. Perpetuating that or trying to lead people into that dream. I just think that's wrong. It's a doomed city. I want to help you to transcend your earthly hopes and into heavenly ones. I want to help you to let go of false, disappointing hopes and take hold of eternal hopes. I want you to get out of the car that's going to crash and get onto a train that never crashes. We all have affections for things in the world. I'm not exempt from that. You know, I'm not any different than you. But once you give them up, once we give them up, we're going to love what replaces them. And when you get out there away from Gomorrah and the houses you used to live in is burnt down, and now you're out there in the hill country and stuff like that, and you find a miracle God. God who sustains you and protects you, and you find out that security was always there with God. That's a great relief. You're being set free. This is not an anti-materialism message. It's a message against love of material things. Things that keep us from being able to hope in God. And when we panic because there's not toilet paper, I'm telling you, we love material things. It's a message against false hopes. It's a message about obedience. We must overcome our love of disobedience and be willing to be obedient. To love obedience instead of disobedience. You can have hope in a shaking world. You can put your hope there you want, holding on to the things of the world, you're not going to find hope. You let go of and take hold of Christ, who has taken hold of you, and then your hope will flourish. And so once you let go of the things that you shouldn't have been holding on to in the first place, and take hold of the other things, you're going to think, oh man, I wish I'd have done this about a decade ago or 40 years ago or whatever the case. Your hope will flourish. Hope will well up inside of you like a rushing river. What we sell here at Abundant Life Family Church is a spiritual covering. And it's only good to the point that you honor it. Do you believe God has called you here? Do you believe in the power that comes from being united with other believers, whether it's in the Abundant Life Family Church or any other place. And I cannot usurp your choice. I can't tell you that you have to come here or how often. I can't tell you how much you have to commit. I can't force you to believe. And so if you don't recognize any authority here, then there is none. And if there's no authority, then there's no spiritual covering. I have nothing to offer. If your covering comes from the world, then you'll have to go out there and get the help from the world. If your covering is someplace else, then you're going to have to go to that place. I don't have a right to demand your obedience to the things of God. What does obedience to Christ look like to you? What does it tell you? All of us hear Christ speaking to us on the inside. We know, we kind of know. We don't always follow or listen to what's being said inside. Forget it. You don't need to even worry about the things I'm saying. What's God saying to you in your heart? I trust that more than I trust what I say myself. The people who are troubled are those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh and despise authority. Verse 10. And they're tormented because they want to live in Sodom. They want things the way they want it. And they don't necessarily want things the way God wants it. And if you'll let go of everything that holds you back and just follow after obedience, you'll have more reason for hope than you've ever experienced. Do not try to navigate the last days as a lone wolf. There's just no hope there, only disappointment. Find a body of believers and submit your life there. Buy in. And you need a spiritual covering. We all need a spiritual covering. If you weren't here, I wouldn't have a spiritual covering. But I do believe in the power of the church. And I do recognize the principle by when we submit to one another that there is protection and a covering and hope in that. All of us need spiritual covering. Get understanding. Learn how to have a hope in a shaking world. And it's a blessed way. You can be immune. You know, they're coming up with some shots for people, I think. But you know what? We have the one shot that we need. Amen. You know, we can be immune to every threat, to every fear. We can put completely our trust in. We're the winners. You're the winner. You're the only one that wins. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord. If anybody would like prayer today, I'd love to pray. Thank you for coming and listening. And I hope you benefit. And God is good. So we live in scary times, and I encourage you to go out there and try to spread some peace by expressing Jesus. Anyway, love you guys. Mm-hmm.